Hi, this is Andrew Conry Murray, Business Editor at Network Computing. Today I'm speaking with Jeff Palmer. He's President and CEO of Blue Lane Technologies. And Jeff, thanks for joining me today.
Yeah, thank you, Andrew.
So I'm curious where the idea for Blue Lane and the inline patch proxy came from.
Well, the founder, had this concept. I think he had two pretty simple ideas that he looked at the world of securing applications and the servers they run on. And the first one was he saw a lot of solutions that seemed to be exploit-centric, and exploits were multiplying like rabbits. So his first insight was, why don't we focus on the vulnerability instead of all the exploit variants that attack that variant, that vulnerability. Mm-hmm. And then the other insight he had was for all remote vulnerabilities, network accessible vulnerabilities, and he was able to mathematically demonstrate it, that you can actually resolve those vulnerabilities on the network, operating on the client-server protocols, consistent with the behavior that a patch actually installed on the machine would achieve. Mm-hmm. For remote vulnerabilities. Local vulnerabilities you can't address clearly because an appliance-based solution is front-ending the servers.
So the attack has to be coming in across the network?
That's right. And as it turns out, if you look at from all the major software vendors, when they rate severity or criticality or things like that, invariably the highest-rated ones are the network-accessible ones because a much wider population can potentially attack. So that tends to be top of mind for most enterprises and service providers anyway.
And so Blue Lane doesn't actually apply the patch. It mitigates the core vulnerability that the exploit is trying to take advantage of. Is that correct?
That's right. We're not sometimes get confused with patch management or software distribution. We in no way handle the actual vendor security patch. We remediate until it's realistic for the enterprise to actually successfully deploy the patch on machines which can be patched. There's certainly some machines where it's difficult to patch, and yet again other machines where it's impossible to patch, in which case we can remediate longer. But we're an adjunct to something we encourage, which is a very healthy software update process.
Mm-hmm.
The big difference is speed of protection. And the other big difference is letting the customer decide, the enterprise decide, when they're going to have their software maintenance windows versus, in effect, having them thrust on them by the availability of new security patches, because that tends to force an update cycle on the software vendor's terms, not on the enterprise's terms, because of the threat profile goes up dramatically upon the release of a new patch.
Right. And so Blue Lane is monitoring all the traffic coming in, and then is it taking something out of traffic, or what is it doing to traffic that comes in?
It depends. There's not a single use case, but the thesis behind the product is, and it's kind of our design goal, is that we typically follow the availability of security patches from the vendors. We focus currently just on those applicable to servers.
Mm-hmm.
And two, the other screen we look at is remotely exploitable vulnerabilities, okay, over the network. And then our design process for what we call an inline patch, a patch that operates on the network, is to emulate in a very context-aware way the detection logic of the vendor patch as well as the correction logic. And the correction logic can vary depending on the actual vulnerability, and that's really what the software vendors figure out. I think that they try to achieve two ends. Let me secure or eliminate the vulnerability, and then two, let me implement a solution that is highly unlikely to be in any way disruptive to, the widely installed systems we've got deployed around. So they may have a mechanism in the case of a buffer overflow where traffic's truncated. In that case, that's what we would do on the wire. We'd truncate. In some cases, they terminate a session. Okay, if that's the remedy there, we would certainly do that as well. In other cases, they do something as simple as returning an error message.
Okay.
And there, too, we would emulate that behavior by returning an error message when we see vulnerability being exercised on the network. So there's a range of correction behaviors, I think the thing I'd point out is there's not a single flavor, for example, terminate the session or not. The vendors are, I would say, generally speaking, hesitant to do that because if you're ever wrong, that's disruptive to production traffic.
Right. How often would you say that your solution is to have to terminate a session?
I don't literally have those stats in front of me, but it's certainly a minority of the solutions, okay? It's certainly a minority of the cases there. And like I say, we don't try and get clever here. We try and follow the lead of what is the behavior of the vendor security patch, because we take it as a given they know their applications best and the best way to resolve vulnerabilities.
Okay, so your remediation then depends on the vendor patch as well.
That's right. We create what we call inline patches, okay? And there's really four cases, I guess I'd say, that drive when we issue an inline patch. The single largest set is upon availability of a vendor security patch, we will create an inline equivalent for server remote vulnerabilities. Another class is publicly known vulnerabilities for which there's not yet a patch available. We'll follow, you know, if the patch isn't there yet, we'll jump on it because now there's a known weakness until the patch becomes available, in which case
okay.
We would, if necessary, follow up there. Other cases are publicly known exploits for which there's no remediation available. There, too, we'll follow that lead. But our principal path is certainly to the largest set is to follow the lead of newly issued patches.
Okay. And Blue Lane was started in late 2002, yes?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And around that
time...
Yeah,
actually, well, to be fair, that's when I would say the idea was conceived. The company actually received its first financing at very late 2003. So it was really, I think... building out the concept, whereas the real significant development and productization really didn't begin until early 2004.
Okay. But in that time, the number one threat was, you know, massive worm outbreaks.
Mm-hmm.
But since then, they've kind of dropped in the past couple of years, and attackers are migrating to things like web-based vulnerabilities like cross-site scripting, SQL injection, that aren't necessarily tied to a vulnerability more than to a coding issue, and then attacks like phishing and so on. So does this changing threat landscape kind of dampen the imperative for a product like yours?
We wouldn't say so, because we think, if anything, certainly the number of vulnerabilities continue to go upward. And, you know, there's recent data as recently as a month ago showing that 2006 so far this year is as big a year as ever. There's been, you know, steady year-over-year increase. So two is there's more and more diverse and clever threats, and we would argue a more application-aware, context-aware set of logic is required to properly address them. And third, you know, the reason people pay attention to Blue Lane is ultimately, how do I secure an ever-increasing population of servers with an ever-increasing number of distributions of patches in a timely and cost-effective way? So.
Mm-hmm.
That we, you know, this company wasn't built around we're going to go fix the worm problem. This company was built around let's have a very application-aware solution focused on eliminating vulnerabilities, and the benefit to the customer is secure your server population in a timely and cost-effective way while life goes on about doing normal software maintenance on the enterprise's schedule, not driven by external events, hopefully.
So do you see PatchPoint then as primarily a security play or an IT management play, if the major value
It's a little of both, but I think, you know, what we've really seen fundamentally is it is a security play, okay, because we're dealing with a couple of realities here. One is reality, which is enterprises and their CISOs and others are being tasked to assure that they have mechanisms in place to secure their infrastructure, and they obviously deploy various technologies to do that. And one of the key best practices is to assure that you're staying very current, because it's kind of inexcusable if one of your vendors provides a patch to a known weakness that you haven't deployed that in a very timely way. And so that's the security imperative. The operational reality is that there are many factors that may impede an organization's ability to touch the various machines in a timely way. And so, And that's part of their normal software maintenance process. And that's going to happen just given the realities of, is that machine available? Is this patch compatible? Are we not in a seasonal lockdown where we can't touch anything anyway? Those things just exist. So what we deliver is this remediation, and this very timely remediation, this ability to assure you're protected from all remote vulnerabilities within low single-digit days, whereas you certainly see half-lives of actual patch deployments stretching out to weeks or months in many cases when you look at that conflict, let's say, between secure quickly versus the operational reality of how quickly is it practical to actually test the patches and then deploy the machines. So just to kind of summarize that, you know, our value proposition, for those who are charged with assuring the infrastructure is secured, here's kind of a way to unilaterally assure that in a very timely way. Meanwhile, on an IT operations front, if you have change management controls, testing requirements, realities when you can actually deploy, go ahead and do that now, but do it on your schedule in a way that maximizes availability.
Mm-hmm. And what are you doing to reassure administrators who might be concerned about having yet another appliance in the network flow?
We have to touch on the key concerns, and they're very understandable concerns. One, are you a reliable device? And including in failure scenarios. And so, for example, you know, we've got hardware bypass in the product, such that if there's a power failure, we can fail the copper or we can fail open, depending on you want to either assure the traffic gets through or if you want to assure that you have protection regardless. For people who are even more concerned about availability, we have a variety of high availability architectures. So clearly, we address that concern. The topic that tends to come up is throughput and latency, and we've got throughput that we've absolutely successful in deployment with customers in terms of having currently supporting up to 1 gig throughput, clearly roadmap to build even higher throughput boxes, but it turns out in server infrastructure that works in almost all current applications that are widely deployed. We also have very low latency, even when we're detecting and correcting like 200 microsecond latency across the box. So we're able to demonstrate, and while it's an understandable question, we tend to overcome it fairly quickly in the sales cycle because we've got good answers to the hard questions.
Mm-hmm. Are you working with patch management or vulnerability assessment vendors to help IT understand, what patches that they need on their systems?
Yes, because we're complementary to both of those. We're in no way trying to replace, in some sense, those processes.
Sure.
So, like I say, we're trying to deal with the operational reality. And so, on the vulnerability assessment or vulnerability management side, we've recently interfaced to Qualys because, mm-hmm. We have multiple customers that overlap with them. And, Qualys has got a product that certainly creates a list of known issues. And kind of the interface allows what I call red, blue, green status. Red status is, flagged as here's something that's unresolved or an open issue. Green is a closed issue. Let's say the patch has been installed, so it's all green from what shows on the Qualys report. We've added, in effect, the blue status. While it's not yet physically patched, protection is enabled by virtue of the Blue Lane device. So that's a very natural thing to do. On the patch management side, we haven't yet done any integration activities. What we're seeing is our customers, based on the activity they see across the inline patches, when you deploy Blue Lane, one of the benefits is you're actually able to see, in effect, which patches are getting exercised. Historically, patches from vendors have given you no insight into whether they're actually used. They're kind of a bit of a black box and installed, no diagnostics or anything like that. When vulnerabilities traverse the blue lane box, we're able to capture those events specific to which servers and which specific patches were exercised. Our customers are now paying attention to that to help drive the prioritization of the deployment scenario using either a patch management product or a server provisioning product.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Great. And is there any significance to blue in blue lane?
Zero, except it's early in the alphabet. No, it's a generic name, I guess I might say, as compared to mission specific.
Okay. Just curious, because you were talking about, you know, the red and the green. And then
I borrowed that from the name. It actually worked the other way, Andrew. People are used to red and green. The intermediate state, you might say, is blue lane blue, where we're assuring the vulnerability secured, pending if and when a patch is deployed.
Right. No, it's good branding. I'm curious. You know, one sign of a healthy market is the presence of competitors, and as far as I can tell, Blue Lane's still the only one out there doing specifically what you guys do. Is that the case?
I disagree on at least one dimension. I think on the messaging dimension, we're clearly not the only vendor who's talking about solutions to address the larger issue of patching, but in particular the issue of remediation. And you know, there's certainly other security products out there that will argue that they've got a means to in some way secure or remediate. So we're not alone in terms of people conveying, you know, amplifying the problem and also claiming they've got some degree of a solution. I think it is fair to say that, you know, our technical approach is unique. And whether it's customers or reviewers or analysts, when they look under the hood, they've all come away and said, yes, this is new and different, and, you know, with quotes all the way right up to things like, you know, sounds too good to be true, and then things like that. And so so the technical approach, we agree, is novel, and but it works. And the thing I'd point out is, compared to the other folks who claim to remediate, I sincerely believe, because of our capable technology, we're able uniquely to make three claims. Zero touch, no software has to be installed on the server before you're ready to remediate against these remote vulnerabilities. Two, zero downtime. The server doesn't have to be rebooted for a patch install and our gateway does not in any way have any downtime as we distribute and enable new inline patches. And then the third one is, and quite important from an operational point of view, zero tuning. Our inline patches, much like vendor patches, are binary. They're either enabled or they're not. In the case of patches, they're either installed or not. And what we found with our customers is after they've gotten enough familiarity with the product and confidence in it, they're doing what we call default on, which is as we have new updates, they're downloaded and the customers are letting them be automatically enabled 100%. So we're thrilled to see, in effect, the customers can have the confidence to, you know, use blanket coverage, you might say, for the Blue Lane inline patches. Whereas, you know, in other categories of products, you see articles talking about things like high fidelity signatures, which means some of what can be deployed is kind of off the shelf, but other things you better check before you deploy. We're trying to lower operational burdens quite deliberately with our product. Shame on us if our product, in trying to eliminate, let's say, the operational burden of deploying patches, added to the burden of managing a security device or security appliance. We're very proud that we don't add to that burden. It's a pretty quiet system.
Okay. Are you aware of other competitors or even startups kind of taking your technical approach?
We get rumors about it from time to time. I don't think we've really seen any formal product announcements out there to absolutely confirm it. But look, we clearly believe this is a better way to handle this problem. I'd be astounded if others don't do it too.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Getting back to comparisons to other kinds of products that do or claim to do remediation, how would you differentiate Blue Lane from an IPS with like a generic vulnerability protection, where they're looking to, instead of being exploit specific, they're looking to stop a generic vulnerability that enabled an exploit?
I think one of the big differences is we're very context aware and we monitor right up through layer 7. You know, we're looking at traffic, but we're only paying attention specifically to particular servers with particular inline patches enabled and relevant and the sessions for which that's true. And so we have this very efficient context-aware and application-specific proxies that try to emulate in a very light way, I should say try to do, emulate the behavior of the application, but in an efficient way. We're not running the application on our box. That'd be insane. But in order to verify the set of circumstances that would lead to a vulnerability being exercised, even if they happen over time, we maintain that context and state. And that's the big, big difference is this context-aware and application-specific based on these proxies, lightweight proxies that we're running on inside the box. I think in fairness or, you know, from what we can tell and hear from others that look at, you know, kind of the classic IPS technology, by and large are using things close to regular expression processors and they're far less context or session aware. And so you hear more and more stories about the need to throw a lot more hardware at the problem. We're really an efficient software-based solution. So, like I say, there are two dimensions to this. One's kind of the technical debate, and you know, we've had many folks look very close at the product who are very familiar with the IPS, and they come away and say, yes, this is a novel and different technical approach. I tend to focus more, as our customers do, on the operational reality. Let's just say we and our competitors both did the best of our ability. The proof is in the pudding, and what we're seeing is default on with no tuning on our box, whereas we tend to see selective enablement with carefully evaluating the fit with competitive technologies.
Mm-hmm. Does the increased use of virtualization in data center complicate things for Patchpoint?
Actually, they kind of fit hand in glove, and if anything, it enlarges the opportunity. Because in effect, you know, when I think of virtualization in the data center, you've kind of decoupled the software from the hardware, you might say. You know, you've got these server images that can be consolidated and brought online and offline without having to have this, let's say, hardware-specific installation and configuration. Well, if you think in the world of security patches, patches kind of have a parallel universe, and that patches, the vendor patches, are, I like to say they're man-to-man. they're not there until they're individually installed on each and every relevant server or server image. And so it's a very binary, is it installed or not, and otherwise you're not protected. Blue Lane, in effect, has a virtual solution as well, which is we put this shield up in front of the infrastructure, and it's a configuration choice that can be turned on or turned off in an instant with no installation or deinstallation on a server or server image as demanded by your business dictates. So I think, you know, it's almost a parallel concept to what I believe virtualization is trying to do to this data center, what we're trying to do for patching and in particular security remediation. I think the other comment I would just make about this is while virtualization has some wonderful operational cost benefits, I think one of the realities it's bringing is many more server images and in a more dynamic environment as they circulate from test environments into production or from production online to production offline or test online, test offline. And so there's this larger inventory of images that the owners need to pay attention to. Well, remember, in patching, it's man-to-man, so if you haven't personally assured each and every image when it's brought into production is patched, you're potentially vulnerable. Put Blue Lane in front, and we eliminate that worry because we're securing the infrastructure behind us until you can successfully patch. So we've got numerous customers who have virtualization software deployed and clearly see benefits of putting the Blue Lane device in front of those environments.
Mm-hmm. Are you looking at ways to deploy PatchPoint as a software solution, maybe sitting directly on target machines or in a virtualized environment, or do you think
Yeah,
network is the best
absolutely.
place?
We think you know we currently have one form factor, which is our appliance, but we clearly see in the evolution of our business different form factors in effect for the appliance, whether it's embedded on blades or is delivered on virtual appliances and other form factors like that. And you know we're not beholden to any one form factor. We're just pushing out into the market. Across what we consider to be a natural evolution. So very much exploring all options to make sure we're in the right position to secure the infrastructure.
How many customers currently?
We're well into the tens of customers, okay? That's how I put it, not yet into the hundreds, but well into the tens of customers, okay?
Okay. I believe that's all my questions.
Well, thank you, Andrew. I appreciate you taking time today to learn a little bit more about BlueLane.
Great. Thanks for talking with us, Jeff.
Okay. Take care.